Welcome to the February edition of Reading Deeply, Fueling the Brain, a podcast series by the learning and teaching team at DSB1, focusing on Know Better, Do Better comprehension by David and Meredith Leben. Today's episode, Asking the Right Questions, Centering the Text for Deeper Insight, explores Chapter 6, entitled The Power of Questions and Centering the Text. I am Tanya Vince, a lead for learning and teaching at DSB1, and joining me today is Shannon Sayo, principal of Elk Lake Public School, Temagami Public School, and Kearns Public School. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you, Tanya. I'm excited for today's discussion.
Also, we have a very special guest with us today, Una Malcolm. Una is the project lead of OnLit and volunteers as the president of IDA Ontario. She has been at the forefront of much of the important literacy change happening in Ontario. She is an expert regarding the science of reading and all things literacy, and has really led our province through the positive changes that have been taking place over the last few years. She is incredibly busy, and we're so incredibly grateful to have her with us today. Welcome, Una.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to chat about reading comprehension. Such a great topic to bring to the forefront.
For years, we have understood the importance of shifting away from a comprehension strategy of the month to looking at the text to see what strategies are needed as an area of focus. This book is helping us build our further understanding of how to examine a text to determine what strategies are needed for a student to understand that text. This is a big step for us. Una, why do you think that it is so important for us to get to this point and not remain at the comprehension strategy of the month stage?
That is a great question. And honestly, it really gets to the heart of why comprehension instruction has sometimes gone a bit sideways over the years. So that idea of focusing on a strategy of the week or strategy of the month where we teach something like visualizing in October and then questioning in November and so on, it's such a ubiquitous practice. And even I've been reflecting on it now in today's context, and I think we can connect it pretty clearly to that idea of a scope and sequence, right? When it comes to phonics, we break down content into smaller pieces. We carefully sequence those little bits. We teach them individually. We build in student practice and review. And it can sometimes feel, even today, like we should also do this for individual comprehension strategies, you know, really thoughtfully sequencing them and teaching them systematically. But you know, this approach, it misses the mark, right? We know that when students are practicing strategies in isolation without connecting them to that actual nature and the demands of the text in front of them, it becomes about using the strategy rather than about understanding the text. And that's where things sort of start to break down a bit. So in the book, the Liebens highlight Walter Kinch's work in an earlier chapter, and he talks about how comprehension is essentially this process of building a mental representation of the ideas in a text. And to do this, readers are essentially integrating, you know, it's complicated. They're integrating linguistic or language skills and cognitive skills to create this mental model. And if you think about it, when you read something, you're not storing a 100% perfect carbon copy of that text in your brain. You know, as the reader, you're constructing some sort of a representation of what you've read, and it's everybody's representation is not the same, right? Yours is influenced by who you are, your background knowledge, your past experiences, things like that. And that really is the goal, right? We want this enduring understanding. We want our readers to have this mental model because we want them to learn something from a text, whether that's content, whether it's exploring, you know, ideas, whatever that is, whatever that goal is, that's what we want to be the lasting impact of them reading this text. And this shift, you know, looking at the text first and asking, what does a student really need to do to understand this? And then thoughtfully pulling in instances where we need to scaffold students or explicitly teach strategic thinking, or, you know, thoughtfully using questioning, as this chapter really highlights, it's such an important one. And it comes back to that idea of the goal of reading something is to create this mental model. Comprehension strategies aren't the end goal, but they're tools that are used along the way to help students create this coherent mental model of the text. And having, you know, having a bin of books that are good ones for inferring, well, absolutely well-minded, you know, it kind of flips the script on its head. It puts the strategy is the goal instead of that enduring understanding. And, you know, frankly, in a context where instructional time is so limited, it also misses that opportunity to give students time, right? The time they need, the mileage they need. The Liebmans talk about it as turning up the volume on reading to give students that opportunity to read coherent collections of text to build their knowledge of words and build their knowledge of the world around them. I do want to be really explicit, though. Comprehension strategies are absolutely important, and they absolutely have research support with the rise of knowledge building, which is super important. But, you know, some people started to suggest that comprehension strategies aren't necessary anymore. You know, the thinking that if a student can decode and if they have the background knowledge, that comprehension will just naturally happen, which is not entirely true. Background knowledge is critical. Fluent reading skills are critical. But comprehension is an active process. You know, students need to monitor their understanding, figure out when something doesn't make sense, and then know how to fix it up. And that's where those strategies come in, especially. But the key really is, again, to teach those strategies in service of the text, not just as disconnected skills. John Guthrie's research on CORI, concept-oriented reading instruction, is a great example that I think the Liebmans mentioned earlier in an earlier chapter as well. Guthrie showed that when we integrate strategy instruction with knowledge building and motivation building instruction, students' comprehension improves. So instead of teaching summarizing as a standalone skill, we might ask students to summarize a section of a challenging text that we really want them to learn from, because that's connected to our content expectations in science and social studies. But teaching them through that content helps students, you know, build that mental model and also set them up for success in other reading opportunities. So it really causes me to reflect back on, you know, when we center the text itself, we're not just giving students tools, we're showing them how to use these tools in meaningful, purposeful ways to unlock the text in front of them. And that's where the real understanding happens.
Thanks, Una. That was such a clear explanation, an easy to understand explanation, which really helps build our understanding of why this shift is necessary. So easy to understand, it really makes sense. I find that it is summed up as well in this quote from chapter 6. This practice of isolating comprehension strategies and giving students a bucket full of strategies muddies what reading comprehension is by oversimplifying and isolating a single component of it. Often this means building lessons around focused standards and reading only for mastery of that standard. The idea is that if students truly understand a standard, they will be able to answer questions that map to that standard, and repetition of this for standard after standard will make them stronger readers. This misguided belief, again, baked deeply into our instructional materials, programs, and assessments, is that this ability will transfer to other texts. It doesn't. The secret word is questioning. Email that word to TanyaVince@DSB1 for your chance to win a prize.
What I've heard so far in today's podcast really clarifies what we shouldn't be doing. But how do we effectively teach reading comprehension in a way that feels more natural and integrated? I remember the HOT tool that DSB1 created and how teachers used it for years. Using that chart, each teacher knew which text form and comprehension strategy to focus on each month. They would explicitly teach the strategy, co-create the anchor charts with the students, and select read-alouds that aligned both the text form and the strategy. It was very structured and siloed. For example, one month might focus on persuasive text and point of view, while another focused on procedural text and demonstrating understanding. So this ensured coverage of essential text forms and strategies across the primary and junior years, but it often felt rigid. How can we shift to a more organic yet still effective way of teaching reading comprehension?
That's a great question. I've been attending a book club through Onlit, focusing on teaching skills for complex texts, deepening close reading in the classroom by Heidi N. E. Mesmer. It's an excellent book, by the way. Before the first session of this book club, we were given an article called No More Strategy of the Week, Considerations for Connecting Comprehension Instruction Back to the Book, written by Kristen Conradi-Smith, Tamara W. Williams, and Ellen B. Frackleton. Well, along with that, we were also given a link to an episode from the Reading Road Trip podcast, which is an IDA Ontario podcast. And in that episode, it featured the authors of that article. Both resources highlight why we need to move away from the strategy a month approach and instead focus on actively supporting students in building meaning as they read a text. They also outlined a framework that includes how to select the right texts and how to size up a text before introducing it to your students. So this means knowing what and how much to bring to students both before and during the reading process. One of my favorite quotes from the podcast, which I absolutely love, is don't let the warm-up be longer than the workout. So in other words, that key takeaway is that we should spend less time away from the text and allow our students to engage with the text itself.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Ultimately, we want students to develop a love of books.
Yes, exactly. One of the key themes we've seen in this book, No Better, Do Better Comprehension, centers really around helping students develop curiosity. It's so important. It's our main goal, and it's what's woven throughout this entire book. So to support educators, we've created a resource that I'm sure you'll find helpful that outlines the framework from the podcast in the article, which I've referred to, which teachers can use when planning the read-alouds that they will be presenting to their students. So this resource, which is linked in the episode's resource document, provides guidance on structuring read-alouds to incorporate text organization, background knowledge necessary for students, and essential vocabulary, just to ensure that our students have the support they need to comprehend the text. It also highlights the balance between providing enough support while allowing students to truly engage with the text. The recommendation given in the podcast and the article is to plan one think aloud by the teacher and a few purposeful stopping points during the read aloud, keeping the focus on meaningful interaction with the text. The Know Better, Do Better Comprehension book by the Liebens further deepens the understanding, exploring key aspects of the framework, such as designing text sets, selecting focus vocabulary, and more. So after seeing that framework, you will see how the chapters in this book really help further your understanding. I also love the examples in this chapter specifically. They not only illustrate how a teacher lays the land before introducing a text, but also demonstrates how to craft questions that help students connect ideas within the text and activate relevant content knowledge. This chapter also emphasizes working with small sections of the text, something we'll explore even further, like in our next episode, which will focus on close reading. So stay tuned.
This has been such a valuable discussion. Thank you, Tanya. And thank you, Una, for joining us today.
Be sure to check out the linked resource and tune in next month as we continue our journey into knowing better and doing better in terms of comprehension. Thanks for listening to Reading Deeply, Fueling the Brain. I trust that you found today's discussion helpful. And don't forget to check out the resource document linked to this episode. See you next month.